Spring, Texas. Here we are again this morning. Let's finish out the week with program number 36, part 3, I guess you might say, about churches. We've been looking at the scriptures, and we've seen the very beginnings of the church in Matthew, actually. And we've checked out the early church, Acts chapter 2, which seems to be the way just about all the churches are designed these days. And they're all designed based after the apostles' doctrine and having favor with all the people and miracle signs and wonders and giving up everything you own to everybody else. I mean, all sorts of things there. Seems to be the direction the churches have taken today. I call it churches have gone Alzheimer's. And I'm not making fun of Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's is a serious issue for so many people. But it's a serious issue for church, too, to be going back to the childhood as such, the early days of the church, as compared to the Gentile church age, the dispensation of grace, where Christ would expect his people to have grown up and to look to the scriptures for what we would have going on in the churches today. We have to be preaching about the goodness of God, and we should be living a life based on the goodness of God, not on the fear of the severity of God. But anyway, today we're going to look at churches, E-S, plural. Plural means the local assembly, the local crowds, the local gatherings. Whether you gather in your home, whether you gather in a building, in a storefront, as we used to do years and years ago, whether you've got a modest old-fashioned church building with the old steeple and the ring-in bell, which we had in Washington, or you've got these modern multi-million dollar campuses, and you want to call it a church, whatever, let's just look and see what God would expect out of the local churches, plural. Just to make sure that we see that they do exist, we've talked about the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. That's what we have to count on. We are the body of Christ. Romans chapter 12, verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. So we are a body all over the world, those that are in Christ. For as we have many members in one body, we're the body of Christ. Ephesians talks about that. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1, and let's just make sure that we realize that we can have a local assembly. We can have a local church, and they should be called church, just because that's what he calls them here. Why call them something else? To try to attract people to come to it? What's wrong with the word church? Oh, I know, because so many years of the gospels being taught, and the grief and the guilt and the severity of God being taught, and the fact that they want so much of your money, and all the things that are taking place in churches. Some people are wise that there's something not right here. I hear from a number of people that have either quit their church or quit going, where they're not happy with it. It's not about the people, necessarily. It's not about the pastors, necessarily, or the pastor's wife, or the kids. Things happen. We are who we are. But something is not right. So we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about that on Monday as well. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Let's just see these words, churches, to make sure we understand that the scriptures tell us about plural churches, locals. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia. Churches, plural. Acts chapter 16, verse 5. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. See, notice this is past Acts chapter 2, and it's past Acts chapter 9. But we also still need to notice that this was at Jerusalem, so there were still things going on in Paul's ministry that the Jews had to see signs. That was a fast bunny trail. Dropped it in and took it out right away. Just so we see, and so were the churches established. That's plural. Go to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God. Now, the church of God is the body of Christ, the Christians. You got the Jews, you got the Gentiles, and you got the church of God. But here he's talking about, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulations, etc., etc. So, plural. It's okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 16. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward, of his own accord he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother, whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace. Another example of all these different churches. And then lastly, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. So we see the plurality of churches along with the church, the body of Christ. So when you're reading your scriptures, just make sure you realize, King James, of course, what you're looking to here is he talking to the body of Christ, each one of us, to edify the body of Christ, or is he talking about a local church? Let me ask you just one quick question here. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, and let me ask you this. Is this referring to the local church, or is this referring to the body of Christ, the people? 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. He says, But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Is that the local church? Is the local church the pillar and ground of the truth? Is the local church the final authority in all matters of works and practice in your life? And faith, I suppose you could throw that in, and teaching? Is this dealing with behavior because you need to know how to behave yourself in the house of God? Were you ever told that as a young kid? Quit running around in this place. This is the house of God. Behave yourself in the house of God. This is church, you know. Is this where they get that from? If you go back to verse 1, you're seeing here that you're talking about the office of a bishop. You're talking here about a bishop, as we call pastors, that must be blameless, and it goes to that whole list. And then it goes up here to the deacons, and then the deacons' wives. So this must be talking about a local church. But is it? We'll come back to that one at a later time. Let you think about that for a while. I could just ask you, is the local church your final authority? And I know there are churches out there that say yes, there are, and this is the verse they go to. As we go through what should go on in our churches according to God's directions, and it would please Him, we will look at what should go on in the church. We need to make sure that it pleases God. We need to make sure it's the right thing that we should be doing in our little local assembly, and that it should follow scriptures dispensationally, of course. We'll also next week look at pastors. We'll take on the issue of music in churches. We'll look at the importance of the brethren. And then the big question at the end, what do you do if you don't have a church and you can't find a church that follows what God would have a local church do? What do you do if your pastor's not teaching what he should be teaching? What do you do if you can't find a church to where the brethren are together? You go out and find something else. What if there's nothing available anymore? So what do we do? We will take on that question at the end of this little mini-series here. Let's go back, and let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. And we're just going to gently touch on Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 16. This is where it says in verse 11, And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And the whole purpose for all of this ever has been, which is the purpose for today's churches, our goals and objectives, starting with verse 12. Now, before we read through these next verses and just talk about them a little bit, let me ask this question. Is soul winning the most important part of a church gathering? Is being a soul winner? Is having visitation? Is this so important that nothing else is important in the church other than we just get together? Is that your pastor's main goal, is to win souls? Should every sermon be geared around winning somebody to the Lord? Is that what we're looking for here in a church? I think the word for that would be gain, numbers. You want to grow in size. Why do you want to grow in size? Because that means more offerings. And I've heard so many pastors say, let's build a bigger building, because if we build the bigger building, the people will come. And they go back to Acts chapter 2 for one of the places, but there's many verses, Old Testament, you know, that use for that. But what we're looking at here is in 1 Timothy chapter 6, talking about people that say, supposing that gain is godliness, in verse 5. There are those people that suppose that gain is godliness. And he says, from such, withdraw thyself, not build a church around it. It's important for people to know the Savior as their Savior. But is that the most important thing? You want your whole church geared around that? So once you're saved, there's nothing to feed you with? What if you're one of those kind of dads who likes to just have a bunch of kids, and you keep having all these different babies and babies and babies, but then as they grow up, they don't learn anything, and they go off and let the world take care of them, and pretty soon, they're a mess. Is the most important part of being a parent making and having a baby? Or is it all the years to follow after that? Are they both equal? You've got to have them in the church. You've got to have them part of the body of Christ. Are they welcome in your church? Well, sure they are. But do you want to do something in that local church that causes them to like what you're doing so they'll come if what you're doing to get them to like it is wrong? Do you want to have a church that follows the pattern of the world so people will come in? When will they ever hear the truth? People say, well, if we just can get them to come in, let's do some activities that makes it fun for them to come. So then they come. Let's say supposedly you do teach the truth all of a sudden. They're not going to stick around. Are they going to stick around? It's been proven that they don't. In fact, how many churches today that built these buildings to have more people come are now in mucho debt and they're losing their churches? I read maybe about a year or so ago, it was a massive percentage of churches in America that are closing the doors because they can't afford to keep them open. Is it because they just ran out of money? No, they outbuilt themselves and the people didn't come. So anyway, let's look at this thing. What are the goals? What are the objectives? What are we looking for within a church? What's the purpose? Well, here we go. I'm going to read it first, and then we're going to kind of just list them, and maybe you can organize these in your mind. If you have a piece of paper, you can just jot these down in a list fashion. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. There you go. Well, that's a lot to listen to. If you haven't got your King James Bible sitting there and you want to study that a little bit, well, why do you want to study that? Because you want to make sure you're going to a church that's going to please God. You want to go to a church that is the right place to go to. And you want to go to a church that's dispensationally correct in what it teaches and how it lives. Otherwise, you're just wasting your time. You could be attending an imitation church, here we go on the list, that's taught by imitation pastors, following an imitation spirit, if they at all look at the scriptures, imitation scriptures, using a music that's imitation music. It's an imitation church, and it comes up with imitation Christians, with an imitation salvation. Or you're going to the right church that follows these things in Ephesians chapter 4. Now, let's go back and look at those things a little closer. And then sometime next week, we'll look at these even closer. First thing, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, edifying the body of Christ. So those are the three things. Perfecting of the saints, work of the ministry, number two, edifying body of Christ. Now, it goes on, until we come in the unity of the faith. That's the goal of those three things, is to bring us together in the unity of the faith. And to bring us together in the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, he uses the word unity for both of those. And when we talk to church people today about unity, but the only thing that unifies churches today is the music, or it's the lack of standards. It actually unifies people together because they have a good time, or sports or whatever. It's activities like that. What does that all have to do with perfecting of the saints? A sports program or a music department is the work of the ministry? And how does it edify the body of Christ? Remember, the body of Christ is part of his body. Would Christ be okay with what's going on in the churches today? Would Christ be okay with what's going on in your church today? Well, he hasn't stopped it. I know he's not going to. He's going to allow those things to take place. So how do you know if Christ is pleased with your church? Well, you turn to the Scriptures. Simple as that. And you read it here. Perfecting of the saints, which we'll talk about next week. Work of the ministry. Edifying the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Not in the unity of faith. The unity of the faith. What's the faith? That's his faith. Till we come in the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God. The knowledge of the risen Savior will bring everybody together. What about Jesus to the Jews? That's okay. Learn about the knowledge of the Son of God. Learn about the knowledge of Jesus when he was on this earth. That's okay. But understand what it is. It's knowledge of Jesus on this earth to the Jews. If everybody in the church understands going on to the risen Savior through Paul and the rightly divided King James Bible, there's your unity. So sure, we want to have unity in our church, but those are the things they're based on. Unity of the faith, which is his faith, and the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God. You know, what can you tell me, if we were to be sitting at a table, tell me some things about Jesus Christ. How many things to know about Jesus Christ? You could tell us all about his crucifixion and, you know, the miracles and the parables, all this kind of stuff, the Beatitudes. But what can you tell me about the risen Savior? What has he done? Well, he's sitting at the right hand of God the Father. Why, no, but what has he done now? He's gone to the Gentiles. Okay, what has he given to the Gentiles? Can you give me some of the things of the goodness of God? What do you know about the risen Savior? Just go to your Scriptures and find out. So if everybody goes to the Scriptures to find out, then there's a unity there. So wait a minute, we have a problem. Over 300 or 400 different Bibles out there. If they go to Bibles at all in churches anymore, nobody really seems to be interested in Bible, it seems like. I've had so many people tell me that. That'd be another sermon. That'd be actually a preaching sermon sometime. So the knowledge of the Son of God obviously has to be based on one book so you all learn the same things. Because some of the Bibles take out the deity of Christ. Some of the Bibles take out the blood. So I mean, all the different things that are changed in all the Bibles, how can there be unity in the knowledge of the Son of God if they all say different things about the Son of God? Do you know that in the book of Ephesians, the creationists who believe that God created the heaven and the earth, then you get in the book of Ephesians in a King James Bible, it says that was Jesus Christ. It's in Ephesians chapter 3, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. So here are these people that believe that God's your creator, and yet their Bibles take out by Jesus Christ. You can't have a unifying knowledge of the Son of God if you got all these different Bibles that say all sorts of different things. That little sidelight bunny trail there. Okay, so now we're looking at coming unity of the faith until the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, perfect meaning completed, grown up and, you know, we've grown more, finished, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we should be not imitators of Christ, of course, but we should be living what it is that the risen Savior has taught us to do and to be. Does that mean that we all just love everybody? Well, no. So you have to understand that Jesus Christ, the risen Jesus Christ, is not just all love and hugs. So you have to learn that. So the goal, again, is to perfect the saints, work of the ministry, edifying the body of Christ, coming in the unity of the faith and the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We should grow up as Christians. And then, as Christians, we should no longer be tossed about by every wind of doctrine. And people just hate the word doctrine. Let's just quit talking about doctrine. But you should be able to stand fast. You should be able to stand solid on what is truth regarding doctrine. We'll talk about doctrine one of these days real soon. Then he says, we as Christians, we should not be tossed about by every wind of doctrine. We should speak the truth in love. Now remember, speak the truth in love. Most people, I've seen this, will not speak the truth because they love the person. They don't want to make them mad. No, you speak the truth in love. You'll see that in the Scriptures, grace and truth. Grace and truth. Grace and truth. You'll see that in that order, grace and truth. Grace and truth. You can't have grace without truth, or you've got the ecumenical lovey-dovey Christians today. And if you have truth without grace, then you got those hardcore guys that have no care, no comfort, etc., etc. Grace and truth. So he wants us to speak truth in love. We should be learning in our church how to speak the truth in love. Sadly enough, in Galatians 4:16, here's Paul teaching the truth to these people. And he's got a verse here that says in verse 4, chapter 4, verse 16, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? That's what happens when you tell people the truth. They don't think you love them. If you really care for somebody, you'll tell them the truth, but you do it in love. I always wonder why people that care for me and they don't like what I teach, why they don't try to show me where I'm wrong. Why they don't try to show me why what they believe is truth. They don't want to talk about it. Well, I do, see, because I do care for you. I do love you. I want to show you the truth. We've got people all over this country being led to the Antichrist through their local church because of all the things that are taking place today that never took place in churches 50 years ago. Yes, I was around then. So, Christians, not tossed about by every wind of doctrine, we can learn how to speak the truth in love. We can grow up into Christ in all things. That makes us a walking Christian. And then here's a very unique thing. Be part of a fitly joined together group. We're part of a local body. We're fitly joined together. Everybody has their place. So when you look at those things, you look at them closely, then you see that right after this, it follows with something very interesting. Verse 17, this I say, therefore. Here's what these pastors and teachers would like to have going on in a church. This is what Paul says should be going on in your local assembly. And then when he's done telling people what they should be doing, here's the benefits from it. Then he says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Remember, other Gentiles are not the church of God. Those are the other Gentiles. Those are lost people. Church of God is who Paul's talking to here. So, if you're not going to follow these things described here in these 11 through 16 verses, then you're going to walk like other Gentiles walk. And how is that? It says, in the vanity of their mind. And here's what's going on in the churches today. Here's what's going on in the lives of so-called Christians because they've rejected the King James Bible. They've rejected what a local church ought to be and the goals of the local church. And here's what they have. This is where they're at. They're walking in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. You ever try to teach somebody something whose heart is blind? Who, being past feeling, in other words, they've given up to this other stuff, have given themselves over to lasciviousness, and that is sins of the flesh, as they call it, dirtiness, dirty mind, dirty sexual things, flesh, to work all uncleanness with greediness. That's the description of somebody who's not being brought up in a church that teaches what it ought to be teaching. He says in verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. So have you been taught by the risen Savior, or are you studying old doctrine Jesus taught to the Jews? If you're hearing from Paul in a King James Bible, you're hearing from Christ. Not because Paul is Christ, but because Paul met with Christ and the risen Savior told Paul what to teach us, so we are learning from Christ. Christ will not teach us these things in 18 and 19. Darkened understanding, alienated from the life of God, ignorance because of the blindness of their heart. They've given up their past feeling. They don't care anymore. Have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. Boy, that's just a terrible spot to be in. Well, that's what the Gentiles, that's how they walk, in the vanity of their mind. So what is going on in the churches today? Because they're not following what Paul taught and Christ, the risen Savior, taught. They're living in the vanity of their mind. Their churches are being designed on the vanity of their mind. Their churches are being designed of what they want to have happen. That's why they're having so much fun. That's why they like it so well in these big monstrous churches with all these hundreds and thousands of people. They're having a great time. But put it to the scriptural test, and they'd fail. They would fit verses 17, 18, and 19. And then the tough part is you go into verse 22, and that you put on the new man, and we'll talk about that at another time too. There are some changes a Christian should make in their life, and it's going to come to them through their scripture reading and their church. It's going to bring us all together as Christians. That's the design. That's the plan. There are local assemblies, and it's okay. But as far as the body of Christ, that's all of us who are saved. Question is, how many are going to a local church who really aren't part of the body of Christ? They're just getting caught up in the Antichrist design of churches, so when he comes, they're all ready for him. Talk about more of this on Monday. Have a good weekend, and we will talk to you later.